Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Making the world a better place through the magic of Hooker Economics. It's Sunday, April 5th, 2009.
This is No Agenda.
Operating covertly from the Crackpot Command Center in the southwest quadrant of London in Gitmo Nation East, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Silicon Valley North, the home of the chip, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Yes, it's April 5th. It's a very special day. Not only is it time for No Agenda number 86, but I want you all to take a moment out of your day because we have to say something very important to my partner in crime here on the program, J.C. Dvorak. He is the original Buzzkill, and today it is his birthday.
It's your birthday too.
I love Skype, man. And I'm presuming that Skype is right because it told me that it's your birthday today.
Yeah, Plaxo, I think, or whatever that other thing is. There's a number of services. I don't know how they get this, but of course, if you follow it closely, you will realize that I'm 102. That's what it says on Skype. So they
You're 107, actually, I think is what it says.
Oh, is it 107?
Yeah, because...
Well, you know, the thing is, I was talking to somebody about this the other day that, you know, a lot of people, and I started doing it myself, is that when you're given the... when these services are asking for your age, you find the oldest... You put the right day in.
Yeah.
But then you find the oldest thing that's on the menu. You know, like, is it 1900, 1901 for your birth date? And so you just roll down to the bottom and you just click on that, whatever it is.
Right.
And I picked up on this, noticing that on early on LiveJournal and on then MySpace, and I suspect on Facebook, all the kids have been doing this. Because you run into, you know, you see some obviously teenage.
Oh yeah, of course. No, of course. You want to be over 18 or 21.
Yeah, but they all make themselves 103.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, and I pointed this out to somebody the other day. Or maybe it was Moody or somebody in the office. I said, you know, these people keep doing these statistical analysis of the average age of the users on these social networks, and they always come up with something like 40.
They're 40 years old because everyone's using 102, 103.
Right, and nobody's paying any attention to the fact that these numbers are so bogus. I don't understand these older people are using these services. They're not.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. Well, of course, everyone knows that you are – what are you today, John? You're –
So let's see. Let me make the calculation.
According to the New York Times, because that, of course, is the newspaper of record, and since they published your birth date, it is now set in stone, obviously.
Absolutely. Let's see. I always have to figure this out, because I don't pay much attention to my own age. I would be born in 52, according to the New York Times.
Listen, I got the song for you, man. Yeah, what are you?
Send a bottle of wine.
So, what is the New York Times?
I'd be 57. Yeah.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Will you still meet me? Will you still feed me? When I'm 64. All right.
Yeah, well, I'm not 64, thank God. So, anyway, enough of that. What's in the news?
Well, I just wanted to stay on that for a moment because in my life, in the news, my wife turned 60 on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my wife looks, well, obviously.
She looks like she's 27.
Well, I actually tell her 35 because that seems like a really good number, and it's actually could be possible that I mean it. She really looks 38. But she doesn't look 60, that's for sure. But, and she knows it, and she feels good, and what did she say the other night? She said, it's fantastic. I have a great husband, I've got a wonderful daughter, and I have a career. But she is so angry about this number.
Well, what is the I appreciate that. So what is her secret, though, to staying youthful?
It's what she eats.
What does she eat?
Well, first of all, you know, she cooks almost every single night. So she cooks herself. We don't, you know, get takeaways and
pre-processed
stuff. No, absolutely not. Oh, she loves the meat, John. Trust me. And, at 60, she
loves
the
rim shot.
Yeah, I can give myself a little in the morning there. And it's what she eats, obviously. So, and she eats a lot of salmon, stuff like that. And she exercises, and of course we all know that it's obviously it's me. There's no qualms about it.
It's possible.
I'm sure
it's possible that having a person as a partner that's so much younger.
Yeah, of course it contributes. No doubt.
It keeps you on your toes.
But she's really pissed off about this. I think that what it's like.
Is she going to have a big party?
Oh no, I'm forbidden. I was forbidden. No parties. No nothing.
Big surprise party.
I can't. Oh my God. Oh, that would be. She would divorce me. She would absolutely divorce me on the spot. And I'm like, yeah. And she doesn't. She doesn't want to see the number 60. So Christina and Dexter are making three cakes with 20 on it. You know, stuff like that. That's how far this goes, right? I said do cakes with 35. That would be funny.
Make sure that they put 20 candles on each one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Not a good idea.
The house is on fire. Smoke alarms are going off.
What's happening there in Southwest London? The fire brigade has pulled out. So I did what, there's one thing that always cures a 60-year-old's blues, and that's obviously a brand new Gucci bag. You know, that's the kind of stuff that always helps. So I was going to go pick one up for her. Can you turn it down a little more.
What, the sound? Oh, the sound. You know, yeah. For some reason, it's actually
louder?
Quite low, but Of course, I'd expect you to complain no matter what. All right.
Of course.
It's down to 14.
I was going to go pick up this bag at the Gucci store in Amsterdam, and I had some business anyway. I had like a guy weekend, which included.
Oh, you went to Amsterdam. I noticed that in your email.
Yeah. So Friday afternoon took off, and it was perfect because it was beautiful in the Netherlands, and it was mist, fog, to down like 700 feet in the UK. So no one was flying, and I love it when no one's up there. It's just me and the controllers, you know, because they got nothing to do, and they're like, hey, look at this idiot's flying. And then they start to give you vectors, and they're really helpful, and they're chatty, and it's fun. And they let you cross all over the place at high altitudes where normally you couldn't do that. And then, so I had a couple meetings. And then Friday evening, I basically wound up hanging out with 6-foot-tall blonde women. It was fucking amazing.
Were you in Iceland?
No, in Amsterdam. It was like, I know one. Well, I knew most of them, but one of them is my banker. And I'd promised her this, we would have like 2 years. We'll go out to dinner. And she finally finished her roof terrace. John, I'm so sorry that I'm not going to be there when you're there for Queen's Day. She's got a roof terrace that is unfreaking believable right in the heart of Amsterdam.
Wow.
And then we went to dinner, and then she started calling her friends, you know, it's like actresses, models. I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome. I just sucked it up and enjoyed every single moment of it. And then scored a Gucci bag and went home the next day.
Well, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, how's your life been?
Boring by comparison. I'm cleaning my office.
Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah. Yesterday, yeah. I didn't go to Amsterdam. I was vacuuming.
The show is really, really catching on. And there's a number of telltale signs that we're on to something. And the best thing happened kind of midweek. From time to time, it had acted up, but now it's really full-blown. We have on the noagendadrop.com site, we have one or multiple trolls who are just going crazy 24 hours a day posting stuff at the drop. And I love it.
Good, or is it just troll material?
Well, no, this is the whole point, because the drop site, it's not a forum. You know, when people come into forums and they start flaming and all that, you know, that's when it all melts down. And it happens every single time, everywhere. The minute a topic is interesting, people come in, flame wars erupt. It's just human nature, or it's the nature of the web, whatever. But this is just a site where you drop shit. You know, yeah, it's presented like a blog. You can actually view it in different manners, which is kind of handy. But it's just links or embedded videos or MP3 files, and they all come in hierarchical order. I can't pronounce it.
Chronological order.
Chronological order, even
there
better.
You go.
Thank you. It's easier to say. And I was actually thinking to myself a while back, it's like, you know, this, it is kind of boring because all these links are basically death, destruction, and the world is being taken over.
That's our audience.
Yeah, and I'm like, we need something entertaining, you know. So there's either it's one troll or a couple of them. They are posting the most hilarious stuff. It's really funny. So you know, and because it's a drop site, you can find what you're looking for anyway. You just scroll to it or use a different view. But you can, because it now updates dynamically, you can just sit there and just watch all these amazing things come in. And they do a lot of work, a lot of photoshopping, and I love it. It's good.
That is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a telltale sign, I'm telling you.
Now, a lot of the stuff, you know, the one thing that once you get to a certain level of popularity, there's a self-propagation mechanism on the internet that doesn't really exist anywhere else.
Correct. Self-propagation. I guess that we'd call that viral.
I like my word better.
Okay. The self-propagation?
The self-propagation mechanism.
That's kind of like autofellatio.
You know, that reminds, you know, that's a funny thing you should say. You know, there apparently
now that I mentioned auto fellatio. Yes, there's videos of that.
Oh, yeah. Actually, where I missed the joke there, I says, yeah, I know. I've got to stop doing that. In the
morning. That would have been it. I got to cut back on that. This came up at dinner last night. And my daughter, I don't know, all of a sudden she said, auto fellatio. And my wife goes, what? And then she said, and I said, have you ever seen that video? She says, yeah. Have you ever seen the autocunnilingus? I'm like, oh, God. No, I haven't seen that one. And it kind of deteriorated from there.
Yeah, it sounds like
the conversation went downhill.
It does remind me, I was thinking about this the other day because I'm putting together another interlude. There's a B-52 song called, what was it? Somebody, Love Shack.
Oh, of course, B-52s. Yeah, it did, awesome. Yeah.
Every time I hear that song, you know how music sometimes gives you a moment of where you remember something that where you heard that song.
It's called the soundtrack of your life. Yes, of course.
Well, yeah. So I'm at a place called, this is a while ago, by the way. I'm at during the era when that song existed. I'm at a place called Dirty Dan's, which is a strip bar in San Diego. And so this real cute girl comes out, and they played this song, and her act was that she would kind of writhe around on her stomach and then start to arch her back and touch her back of her head to her ass.
Oh, yeah, baby.
You look at this and you go, while they're playing this song, by the way.
The Love Shack, tin roof, rusted.
You go, my God. Well, this girl's limber.
See, that's what, for those of you who haven't heard it yet, the Dvorak interlude on the No Agenda Stream, noagendastream.com, is about a 2-hour, just awesome songs that you know them all, you haven't heard them for ages, they never play it on the radio, certainly not the versions John's playing, and John's introducing them, which is fantastic. What would be even better, because you do a little bit of it, but I miss that type of information that goes with it. So, you know, if you got some of those soundtrack of your life songs, you got to talk about it too.
Yeah, I'll try to throw in a few more anecdotes. I've actually got the thing down to a formula I could reveal. But
oh, please don't.
Least,
no, that's the magic, dude.
There'll be at least two of these little asides of very interesting information that people can enjoy.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, you know, at least I'm not going to background every song I play. It would be very dull.
When does the next one drop, Johnny O?
Either tomorrow or Tuesday.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
It's already done. I got the playlist and everything, right? I just have to piece it together. It's actually painful to piece it together, but it takes about an hour and a half.
Well, you should try programming the whole stream. Talk about painful.
Oh, I can't imagine. The stream, by the way, and people should listen to it once in a while, is unbelievably fantastic.
Thank you, John. Wait, I didn't quite hear you. I think we just cut out for a second. What did you say?
Yeah, something's wrong with the connection.
Uh-huh.
No, the fact that it works is amazing.
It does. And the request, I'm calling him a twap, twaps, Twitter app. So my request twap is working. And of course, there's a million things I have on the list. Now I understand these engineers, these developers, because now I'm like, oh yeah, I got to rewrite the ID3 tags, and I really should put the request file together and meld it together with the with the song that's requested. And then I'm like, oh, you know, and you should get a direct message from the No Agenda stream that it's been, that it found it and it's going to play it. You know, so I've got a million things. And I guess I got to release it at some point, just make it work. The thing I'm most afraid of is scalability because it's all running on my Mac. I think we need
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to get that thing off the Mac.
And what happens when I travel to San Francisco? You know, the request and the news will be down for 10 hours until I get my... It's, the stream will run, but...
No, it'll be working fine until you leave.
Exactly. Exactly. That's when it breaks.
I mean, my sysop for the Dvorak Uncensored blog, dvorak.org/blog, it's just hilarious because the thing works fine. And then he goes on, you know, Mark will take a drive down to San Jose and then the site goes down.
Of course. It's Murphy's Law. Of course it goes
down. It's almost as though maybe we do have artificial intelligence.
Well,
with a sense of humor.
Well, there's certainly a lot of serendipity because this whole thing is programmed. There's a lot of random elements in it. And sometimes just the combinations or the... And it's probably on individual basis, but, you know, a song will be playing. I'm like, holy crap, that's exactly the right song for this minute.
Yeah. I was listening to it the other day. It was very enjoyable group of songs. There's a couple I wanted to get, so I could play them.
But, do you remember? Do you remember which one?
No, I was like, I don't remember. I just listen again. It'll come up again.
All right. Before I forget, I'd like to do the show on Wednesday because we're leaving for a vacation for a quick week on Thursday. I'll be able to do the show Sunday.
Yeah, Wednesday I'm leaving on a flight to Washington. I'm taking the rest of the week off.
Crap.
Like, I'll be on a plane at 8 in the morning.
All right, well, let's figure this out. We'll figure it out later. We can always do it later.
We can do it Wednesday night.
Well, we could do it Thursday. I mean, it could do Thursday. Ugh, who cares?
When are you leaving?
Thursday, we arrive at our destination around 3 in the afternoon.
On Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, but it's like vacation, so if I immediately start unpacking the mic and the gear, you know, do you think some people will be annoyed with me? We'll figure it out.
Show business?
Yeah,
she's
right.
A show business person. She knows better.
Oh, please. So the alternative media, but also certainly the English media really picked up on Gordon Brown's closing of the G20 summit, which we have to talk about because some decisions were made and some conclusions, or as well as conclusions, and hopefully the United States knows something about that, he said questioningly towards his colleague.
What?
Well, what they decided at the G20. You know, there was
a
conclusion
to it.
You
tell me. I don't know.
Well, first, shall we listen to a little bit of Gordon Brown closing down the G20? Because that's what all the newspapers jumped on. Front page, every single one of them, as well as alternative media.
The largest countries of the world have agreed a global plan for recovery and reform. This involves the biggest interest rate cuts in history, the biggest fiscal stimulus we have ever seen, the biggest increase in resources in the history of our international institutions, with $250 billion, more money than ever before, for trade finance as well. For the first time, we have a common approach around the world to cleaning up banks' balance sheets and restoring lending. We are engaging in a deep process of reform and restructuring of our international financial system for now and for the future. And we have maintained our commitment to help the world's poorest. And we have put more money aside for that.
He said poorest, not poorest, just an FYI.
And also for a green recovery. These are not.
I like that. I like that one. The green recovery.
Yeah,
that's
right.
They slipped that one in. All right, wait for it. Here comes.
This is collective action, people working together at their best. I think a new world order is emerging.
There you go. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. I just got to hear it again. The new world order is emerging.
You should take that.
Yeah,
take that little clip and then put a big echo behind it so it sounds like it's on Mexican radio, and use it.
Hold on a second. Let's see if we can do that.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with
that was pretty good. So the new world order is emerging, and there was a little more to that actually that he said that kind of fit with it.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
Yeah. So the plan, which of course has been endorsed by President Obama and everyone else who was a part of it, really what was going on is Barroso. Because there was the whole thing that was on, that was televised and that was live, that was all the theater, while the real work was actually taking place behind the scenes. And as predicted, and actually I have the PDF here. Declaration on delivering resources through the international financial institutions. This is the document that the Group of 20 came up with. We, the leaders of the Group of 20, are committed to ensuring that capital continues to flow to emerging market and developing countries to protect their economies and support world growth. Blah, 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 blah. We have agreed to make available an additional $850 billion of resources through the IMF and the multilateral development banks to support growth in emerging market and developing countries. And there are acronyms in this document, John. I've never heard of them. Listen to a couple of these. So it's several trillion dollars that are being created in these special drawing rights, and everyone's pitching in, and China, of course, is loving it because that's going to be the new reserve currency. But then we have the multilateral development banks, which is part of it. You have parts of that called the Asian Development Bank, the Inter-American Development Bank, the African Development Bank, the European Bank for Restructuring and Development. What are these banks? What is that about?
It sounds like they're creating a series of middlemen that can control something else. Where is their assets if they're banks?
I think it's just the bankers, not the ones that get bonuses, but the true elite, and that's their banks, just like the central banks, I guess. I think you're right. It's like a shell game.
It's a central bank.
The new IFC Global Trade Liquidity Pool. I mean, come on.
Global Trade Liquidity. Well, it solves that problem that you were talking about earlier with the letters of credit.
Yeah, except it runs through those guys.
Well, they get a piece of the action. Yeah. Everybody, if you can set yourself up where you're just taking a penny here and a penny there from, trillions of dollars in transactions, you do pretty well.
Some of this language, of course you do. You do fantastically well. Some of this language sounds like it's almost like a retail bank for countries. We welcome the IMF's new flexible credit line. That's like a credit card or something, like an ATM for countries, for eligible countries. I mean, there's just all this stuff in there. The IBRD, the IDA, the DSF, they've got it all figured out.
I don't know why we're not doing that.
Doing what?
You and I. We should have been bankers.
No, I am so at the realization that we really truly live in a world of multiple layers of games, fractals, if you will. We're not in any of them. We're not players in any one of these games. There's, what's this guy's name? Hold on, let me look it up. Bill Moyers, the Bill Moyers Journal had Bill Black on. Well, yes, oh God, I agree with you. Do you know who Bill Black is?
No.
He's the reporter who went after the savings and loan, and because of his articles, the Keating Five came about, and they went after.
McCain. The one that Nancy Pelosi was with.
Everyone got out of it basically. So he wrote he's written a new book, and it's called "The Best Way to Rob a Bank Is to Own One," which of course caught my eye when I saw the title.
It's a good title.
It's an excellent title, and so he explains, and I wouldn't mind playing a little piece of that, because it's a rehearsed script. You can almost hear Bill Moyers deliver his lines. He's so bad at it. Like, oh, really? You mean there's really fraud going on?
Yeah, that sounds like him.
I mean, the guy totally programmed.
Main target are the Wall Street barons who are heirs of an earlier generation whose scandalous ripoffs of wealth back in the 1930s earned them comparison to Al Capone and the mob, and the nickname Banksters. Bill Black, welcome to the Journal.
Thank you.
I was taken with your candor at the conference here in New York to hear you say that this crisis we're going through, this economic and financial meltdown, is driven by fraud.
I was taken aback. Why, I had never believed such a thing. Fraud?
What a fake.
Fraud's going on here? Listen.
What's your definition of fraud?
Fraud is deceit. And the essence of fraud is I create trust in you, and then I betray that trust and get you to give me something of value. And as a result, there's no more effective acid against trust than fraud, especially fraud by top elites. And that's what we have.
In your book, you make it clear that calculated dishonesty by people in charge is at the heart of most large corporate failures and scandals, including, of course, the SNL. But is that true? Is that what you're saying here? That it was.
How much of the, it's hard to take that guy.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I want you to hear his answer, because his answer is correct, and it's like a one paragraph answer. And that's
when I
saw, because video, when I saw this, and the link in the show notes, of course, that's when I realized that it's just such a small little piece of the entire game that, oh yeah, we're not in.
It was in the boardrooms and the CEO offices where this fraud began?
Absolutely.
How did they do it? What do you mean?
Well, the way that you do it is to make really bad loans because they pay better. Then you grow extremely rapidly. In other words, you're a Ponzi-like scheme. And the third thing you do is, we call it leverage. That just means borrowing a lot of money. And the combination creates a situation where you have guaranteed record profits in the early years. That makes you rich through the bonuses that its modern executive compensation has produced. It also makes it inevitable that there's going to be a disaster down the road.
So that was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
What do you mean you're not buying it? You're saying fraud?
No, what I'm not buying is the fact that he suspects it or says, and of course Moyers eats this up because he's essentially a socialist that, you know, with a very limited view of things, and he should be writing for The Guardian, because he's making the assertion that these guys are in the boardroom, you know, wringing their hands going, yeah, and here's what we're going to do next, and this is going to happen, and we're going to do this and that. When these board meetings, you know, if you've been in them, There's not a lot of scheming going on the way they make it sound. It sounds like these guys, you know, close the doors. Okay, everybody, make sure there's no bugs in the room. These guys kind of fell into this mess.
First, I'm going to plead the fifth on what you just said. But it's more like it's cultural. It gets to a point where everybody's doing it. It's like, for those...
I'm not going to argue that, but yeah. That's different. Initiatives, you know, or the style. Yeah, everybody. In fact, that's why I think these idiots keep giving themselves bonuses, because they're so separated from the reality.
From reality,
of the situation,
exactly, yeah.
That they, you know, what? I don't know. What? You know, why is anybody upset that I'm giving myself this huge bonus? They're completely divorced from the rest of society because, you know, they've been in an insular environment, you know, in their limos and hookers.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Because, you know, there's hookers in the morning somewhere.
But, you know, the way they make it sound is always just some sort of, you know.
Yeah, Dr. Evil.
Yeah, Dr. Evil, you know. I mean, it's just not the way it is.
Right.
Not that these guys are the greatest guy, you know, great people or fun to be around. Some of them are.
So I guess what I was saying, yeah, absolutely, because they got good hookers. But it's that's what I mean by it's just a subset of the bigger game that's being played above them. I'm sure there's someone above them, but it really, everyone's...
It's a fractal.
Ooh, hold on a second. I have a jingle for that.
It's a fractal.
Oh, God. It sounds like something coming out of the ooze.
We got a great audience, man. They send us awesome stuff.
Self-propagating, whatever. I forgot what my term was.
It was a good one. You might have to listen to the show.
I listened to the show the other day. I don't think it's equalized very well.
What do you mean?
I sound like, for one thing, I sound like I'm talking slower than I am.
Well, that's just the Skype connection. There's not much I can do about it. But you're not talking slower. You come through as slow as usual.
Huh? sound like emo.
Yeah, but, you know, it sounds good, man. I can. You want me to? You don't like the actual EQ?
Yeah, I'm thinking the EQ is could be a little.
Okay, I'll give you a little more low end there.
Probably would help.
Then you got your reverbs. Yeah.
Now, when I'm on the other mic, PR40, I don't think you need to do anything. But good. I'm also on phones there too. I don't wear them here.
Right. You know, it's not like you do anything to improve the quality of the show.
It can all be done by twirling knobs.
Yes, it's very easy. We have the Blackwater replacement is now known.
Oh, who is it? Because I understand the Blackwater guys are going back to Iraq.
They are going back to Iraq, but Blackwater, of course, changed its name to Z.
Z.
And they lost their contract, but they've got a new one. No, it's a go figure, a Chicago company called Triple Canopy. And beginning May 7th, Triple Canopy will officially take over Z's mega contract with the U.S. State Department. Now, I haven't done...
Triple Canopy sounds like a catering company.
Yeah, well, that's...
Doesn't it sound like a catering company? Oh, Triple Canopy, we got the best chefs in town.
Wait a minute, let me look at their website. It's a Triple... Go figure. Oh, my God. TripleCanopy.com. This is great. Solutions. Solutions. Need to take over the world? We've got a solution for you. Security services. They're also hired for some security services in the U.S. Crisis management. Homeland defense. Rock and roll, baby. I have a picture of contain... Oh, this is a very interesting site. At Triple Canopy, our key strengths of security analysis, protection, operations, and training are focused on the critical task of homeland defense. We're dedicated to keeping nations safe from terrorist attacks by assessing vulnerabilities, providing fixed-site security, protecting key personnel, and training organizations to prepare for and prevent threats.
Brother, sounds like those typical kind of consultants.
They need that's exactly what they're called, consultants. You know, the guys who were in Georgia when they attacked Russia?
Right, those guys.
The consultants. Hey, they're seeking top performers who appreciate the opportunities that come with being part of a growing international security solutions leader.
Well, you know, maybe that'd be a job for me.
Okay, emergency medicine, operations coordination, program management, administration, logistics, human resources. We could go in there.
Can you imagine being the HR person in a place like that?
No, hardly.
A bunch of guys coming in there, you know, sharpening their knives.
Hardly.
Are you going to hire me or not?
And I think this whole ACTA thing is, it's starting to kind of gel. I think I understand what's happening. So I think it was a week ago, or at least the last show, Senator Rockefeller, he played that clip where he said, we never should have created, you know, Al Gore never should have created the internet.
Yeah.
So he has now introduced a bill.
To turn off the internet.
Yes, exactly. The Cybersecurity Act of 2009. Have you blogged it? Have you looked at this thing yet?
I don't know that we blogged it or not, but I have looked at it, and I was just, it's an eye roller.
Yeah. Here's one. It grants the Secretary of Commerce. Now, remember, who's the Secretary of Commerce now?
I don't know. They keep changing it.
they keep rejecting him. Access to all relevant data concerning critical networks without regard to any provision of law, regulation, rule, or policy restricting such access.
Yeah. Let's just write a bill that says, by the way, this bill is unconstitutional. We thought we'd mention it.
It's unbelievable.
And hopefully the Supreme Court will get a hold of one of these things and just tell them to screw them.
He has a Democrat, right? But he also has Olympia Snow, Republican from Maine.
An obvious idiot.
They need another name, huh? We must protect our critical infrastructure at all costs.
By the way, vote her out of office, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone there in Maine, go out of your way. Get rid of her.
I'll have to look into her now. Is she MILFy?
I doubt it.
Oh, you don't know her?
No, I've never seen a picture of her. I can look it up.
You just only know the policy.
Wreck the stream. But policy's bad enough.
That's pretty outrageous.
We have to start targeting
the individuals,
legislators, and get them voted out.
Okay, so let's. This is a good idea. Why don't we find? Why don't we find some vote that's coming up or some election? There's always something going on, right? At lower level.
Oh yeah, and there's lots of stuff, weird crap.
Yeah, so let's find one that we can put the sick the audience on and see if we can get someone voted out.
Okay, I'm game.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay, so we'll take suggestions.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's fun to get someone vote. If we made it fun, imagine if kids enjoyed it. Hey, come on, man. Let's come on down to the schoolyard. We're all going to get together to vote someone out of office. It's fun.
Well, they did that in California when they actually had a recall against this guy, Gray Davis, and that's how Schwarzenegger got in. That was fun.
Right, that's the guy that killed Chandra Levy. Wasn't it?
Who? What?
Isn't that the guy who killed Chandra Levy?
No. You keep saying everybody I bring up in California politics, you claim killed Chandra Levy.
Okay, who killed her then?
It turned out to be some psycho that was stalking her or something. I think they figured it out. Hey, I got a letter from Andrew Natupsky. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I was listening to the latest excellent, as usual, No Agenda. I didn't have to read that, but I did. I immensely enjoyed the part where you were describing the Berkeley area shopping experience, which leads me to the following. I work as a store accountant while putting myself through college, or I worked at a local supermarket, Harris Teeter, where I occasionally go and help bag, etc. This is in North Carolina, not exactly the hippie capital of the nation, although I would question that comment. Yeah. But we have a fair amount of liberals who latch onto the current trends. Lately, the store has been pushing their reusable polypropylene bags, which has struck a chord with everyone's eco guilt.
Well, I have had a case. It's necessary for the green recovery. Otherwise, you can't. You need eco guilt.
I like the word. I have had occasions where I am bagging someone's order. This, by the way, is in response to my bitching about the woman who demanded they put stuff in her bag,
right,
in her cloth bag. Yep. I've had occasions where I'm bagging someone's order and the reusable bag is full while they still have some raw meat left. Obviously, this person wouldn't want their raw meat mixed in with their vegetables, etc. So I go to put it in a plastic bag and mention it to the customer I'm doing so. I have had people literally lunge toward me with hands out, yelling, "No!
Not another bag!"
No, and then proceeding to place the raw meat with all the other groceries in the overpacked bag. I can only imagine how smashed everything is, being in the one bag, vegetables, cans, cleaners, etc. Also, the people fail to take into account the crappiness of the bag. It's only 99 cents and is actually an extremely high profit item for the store, 60% margin. So the bag degrades after 3 and 4 visits and turns into an absolute piece of crap beyond that. I imagine that the customer will then buy some more reusable bags, thus negating everything they have been trying to accomplish by not using disposable bags, because the reusable ones are so much thicker and contain so much more material. Not to mention that some people will not use a bag because it is a waste of a gram of plastic. They're the same people buying 20 containers of yogurt that are made from enough hard plastic to bag their entire carts worth of groceries from one yogurt container. Anyway,
what a great rant. That's a good one.
It was a good rant.
Excellent. Well, I got a short little note from David Johnson. He said, Adam and John, I thought the story was interesting because when my Canadian wife tried to enter the U.S. a few years ago, and this is in relation to the guy who had $4,700 in cash, and the TSA was questioning him like he was like a piece of dirt. She was denied entry for her lack of cash. Yes, she didn't have enough.
Wait, how much money do we have
well,
to get?
We're going to find out. The agent profiled single women traveling alone without large amounts of cash because they could be mail order bride material
from Canada.
Yeah. That's it. Hey, man, stop. Okay, be very careful because I don't want David to get the wrong idea. I bet you he has a very hot wife.
Okay? I'm sure. Well, there's some good-looking women in Canada. There's no doubt about it, because they walk a lot.
But that's not...
By the way, the women
in
Canada...
They walk a lot.
No,
hey,
seriously.
Hey, this is the John C. Dvorak School of Modeling.
Here we go.
Do you walk a lot, baby?
So there's a... Well, they walk a lot in Toronto. So anyway, I've noticed...
Have you measured this? What statistical evidence do you have of women walking a lot in Toronto? And why do you study these things?
So let's go over the simple fact of what's happened over the last, I'd say, 15 to 20 years. Now, I've noticed that women in Canada tend to have or 15 or 20 years ago, they walked a lot and they had usually a fairly good looking figure and a small, compact, shapely derriere. Now,
hold on. I'm just building a visual. Okay, we're ready.
So now, over the last few years, I've noticed that the same women that, well, you know, they're obviously the next batch, not to use that term derogatorily.
It's a flock of geese and a batch of broads.
And so the next batch comes out, and they seem to have bigger butts and a lot of cellulite in that is actually visible through the pants, which is not a good thing.
That's not a good look either.
Now, it's not a good look. Now, I'm thinking the only thing that's changed in Canada is the fact that the Canadians in particular, unlike the Americans, the Canadians have made canola oil their primary source of oil. I mean, they use it all the time. And I
have
think
a theory.
It's affecting their bodies.
Very interesting.
Their figures.
Ah, very
if they
interesting.
Went back to olive oil, this would be, you know, or just, you know, even corn oil, but safflower or some of the better, healthier oils, I think that this would go away.
Wow.
I mean, it's the only thing, that's the only thing that's changed is the oil.
Well, you know that in Britain, there's a severe obesity, they call it an epidemic, like you can catch it, but it's a obesity epidemic, and I'm convinced, and it is backed up by studies, that started when Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, as they call it here, and Burger King all entered into the market. It was all this fast food, and the Brits just took to it like crazy. I mean, no one, except on Sundays, they have their Sunday roast, but every other day of the week, they're just eating takeaways and just total crap.
Right, when they used to eat fish and chips.
Exactly.
Which is not the healthiest thing in the world, but it's nothing. It's in
nothing,
terms of compare,
nothing compared right. to a hamburger from McDonald's.
Because you get actual fish and the
actual
potatoes
food
are good,
involved.
You know?
Yeah. So it's
and most of the fish and chip shops are closing.
Yeah, they can't afford to survive anymore because you go into what is it? Iceland's. Iceland is the. Have you ever been to an Iceland's?
No.
Okay, so it's a supermarket chain, and it is about the lowest of the low. It doesn't come any lower, and it's like Costco prices, except it's all crap for everything. So you buy like 12 pieces of fish and chip frozen shit, which of course doesn't contain any actual fish and or chips, and it's like a pound, you know, and I'm not kidding, it's a pound for 12 pieces of no actual ingredient stuff, and people, there's no education. Except Jamie Oliver, and of course he's the only guy who's right, and he said, stop feeding your children. They had mothers who were so angry at Jamie Oliver making real food for kids, they were handing hamburgers through the gates of the schoolyard.
Yeah, that was the news about a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, and they laugh at him and they call him a dick now, and now he's a punchline. And it's sad. It's just so sad. People.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I'm actually befuddled by the, I mean, it's
education, it's, John. It's pure education. People
the,
just
the education
don't know.
System, right.
They just
right.
don't know. And so I can only blame the education system, I guess.
Well, that's what we do all the time here.
Yeah. We'd never ever fix it. With all that stimulus money is all going straight into education, into buildings and broadband, not into the actual curriculum or teachers.
Yeah, we're probably the most educational thing on the air right now.
A very good chance. You went a little too fast for me because I wanted to say on the heels of the Shut Down the Internet Act, I'm sure you heard about the FBI raiding a data center?
No.
Oh, really? It's Core IP Networks, LLC. The CEO posted a note. Dear customers, today at 6 a.m., the FBI conducted an unwarranted early morning raid of our 2323 Bryan Street data centers on the 7th and 24th floors. Received a phone call 6:05 a.m. from our NOC. The entire network staff network was powered off. I received a call 15 minutes later from FBI agent Alan Lynn. Mr. Lynn would not tell me why he raided our data center or what he was looking for. He also accused me of hiding inside my house in Ovilla, Texas. I was actually in Phoenix. The FBI seized all equipment belonging to our customers. Many customers went to the data center to try and retrieve their equipment, but were threatened with arrest. Neither I nor Core IP are involved in any illegal activities of any kind. The only data I have received thus far is that the FBI is investigating a company that has purchased services from Core IP in the past. The company does not even co-locate with us anymore. Currently, nearly 50 businesses are completely without access to their email and data. Without a warrant, John.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a lawsuit.
So I think that this ACTA Act, ACTA law, this international law that we're not allowed to hear about because, according to our transparent government, it threatens homeland security. This is all a part of it. You're going to see more and more of this shit, of computers being taken, raids, data.
So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you keep your machines backed up.
Yes, please do.
And keep the backup off premises.
And make a couple backups while you're at it.
Yeah, probably a couple's not a bad idea. I mean, generally you should do that anyway. That way you can kind of rotate through them and always have... So you should never really be more... Well, I mean, it depends if you're a company. You don't want to lose more than a few hours of data. But as an individual, you don't really want to lose more than a week, let's say. So every week you should back everything up twice.
That's what I love about my Mac, the Time Machine thing. God, it's so wonderful. It just works.
Yeah, but it's in the office.
No, it's not.
What happens if they come in and they just take everything?
No, I back up to, well, yeah, true. I back up to the local drive, but I do back up other places.
Where?
All the time. Well, if I told you where, then they're going to go and raid that as well. I'm not going to tell you.
Is it off-site?
Yes, it's in the cloud.
Oh, well, the cloud they can get to, too.
Yeah, of course.
So anyway, yeah, the thing is, you can go to Costco and you can buy a terabyte hard drive for $100, and it's usually USB. You can plug it into your machine and just take the whole, all your other stuff and just make a copy. Just make a whole copy of the C drive and whatever other drives you got. It's probably not going to be a terabyte. And then go take it to your mom's house or your somebody, you know, pal or safe deposit box or whatever, and just put the thing in there.
That's some excellent advice.
Excellent advice.
I don't have a jingle for that.
No. We could use, actually, it would be a cool jingle.
Excellent advice.
In the morning.
You got a list? You had some stuff last week. I remember we talked after the show and we forgot.
Yeah, you know, I wrote it onto this notepad of stuff that we forgot to discuss. Mark to Mark. No, that's from Horowitz.
Hey, that was a pretty good show with Andrew.
Yeah, he was a happy camper. He went to Paris. I guess you guys had lunch or something.
Yeah, I was waiting for a mention. You know, there was no mention on the show.
Oh, you didn't listen to the show because there was a specific mention of him having coffee or something with you.
Where was that? I thought I'd walked out of the room for a second and hadn't paused it. No, I did listen to the show.
It was right at the beginning, too, so he probably didn't listen. Yeah.
That's interesting. No, I heard the whole thing. I liked his theory about the rim. The RIM as a company?
Yeah, no, the theory about RIM and the stock I was fascinated by that myself. That was quite good.
Well, you should repeat it for a second so our no agenda listeners can
Yeah,
hear
what
it.
He says is that RIM shot up like a rocket, and he says
they make the BlackBerry, by the way.
The BlackBerry, yeah, the BlackBerry. Shot up like a rocket, good earnings, all kinds of things happened that are positive. And he, by the way, this is why I like Andrew a lot, and this is what he's really good at, which is thinking. Then taking it one, you know, why, you know, looking at the why from a different perspective. And he suspects that these numbers may be skewed and tricking people, because he's thinking that if there's these big layoffs, 600,000-700,000 a month of all these people, that many working corporations where the company assigns you a BlackBerry and people get addicted to the BlackBerry, you get fired, they take your BlackBerry away, they keep the service contract because it's a contract, it's still lasting, but you don't have you don't get it anymore. And so you have to go out and buy another BlackBerry and a new service contract, and it inflates the numbers because of the turnover of people that are, you know, that have lost their jobs. It made nothing but sense the way he explained it.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. I don't know how big the blip is, but it makes so much sense. Like, yeah.
It's a huge blip.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just probably what it is.
Cool.
It makes, you know, because there's no other explanation for it. Because people love the BlackBerry. They are addicted to it. People who have a BlackBerry, especially if they use it for email, they can't live without it. So they'd go off and get another one immediately, and it would help them, you know, find a job. So I had to explain, and I talked about this, and I think a lot of people need to know this, especially Americans, that very few people realize that once your contract is done with your phone company and you have the phone that they've given you at a good deal because you had the long-term contract, usually you can call the carrier up or the provider, the whoever it is, the phone company, T-Mobile or Verizon, and tell them you want them to unlock the phone.
Right.
And they will do it.
Really?
Because you've
terminated. You've already paid for it, right?
Your obligation's over. You have the phone.
Yeah.
You don't, you know.
But
and
the BlackBerry doesn't work that way. You've got all the services tied in. Yeah, that's true.
So you just say, look, unlock my phone and be on my merry way. And they do. They always give you the codes. It's a little complicated. You have to punch in a lot of numbers. But the next thing you know, boom, the phone's unlocked.
Okay.
And now, back to real news.
I stepped on you earlier. I'm sorry about that.
I didn't notice.
It was a routine night on actress Demi Moore's Twitter feed. The star was in the midst of exchanging positive affirmations about the power of collective consciousness with some of her 400,000 followers on the popular microblog site when she received the tweet, "I'm just wondering if anyone cares that I'm going to kill myself now."
So a long story short, Demi Moore stopped the suicide.
That's actually been all over the news.
John, exactly why?
And now, back to real news.
I mean, do you have to make the point any more clear that that is the real news?
Yeah, Demi Moore is the news.
She's got to stop. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, she gets more play from being the Twitterer. Yeah. Than anything else.
It's so weird. I see how she acts with Ashton. I'm going to just talk about it for a minute. And she's kind of doing this childish type vibe because, of course, he's probably 15 years younger than she is, maybe a little more.
Yeah, something like that.
She's older than I am. I think she's 40. She's got to be 47, maybe.
I don't know. She could be a...
Doesn't matter. I mean, she's fucking beautiful. But then, Ashton, of course, is just immature just by age alone. But he's also, he's a guy having fun in Hollywood. You know, he's making money. He's got shit going on. He's screwing Demi Moore. But then she's got to get... people won't take her serious as an actress. Not that I wouldn't, but Hollywood won't. I think this whole thing is going to turn into a career wrecker if she doesn't watch it.
Maybe. You mean talking about Twitter?
No, it's just her whole vibe, man. You know, when she was with Bruce Willis, her whole demeanor was different.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I know she's acting
childish.
Yeah,
it's kind of a turnoff because she is like the ultimate MILF
for you.
Oh, dude.
Dude,
grab a clue,
man. Get
dude,
with it,
dude. What are you talking about, dude?
So I'm looking for the notes that we had from last week.
Oh, I know it was on the notes. You've lost the notes. You wrote it on a box.
No, I'm looking at notes. Hear this noise? That's me slapping the pad.
That's you auto-fellatiating. So what's on the pad?
I'm trying to find, you know what?
I can't find the notes.
No, they're in here, but there's notes from the last, 5 months of shows. I mean, let me just read you some.
Well, okay, read some notes and we'll see if we can decipher them.
Chavez helping socialist Iran-Cuba-Russia, the life-affirming podcast.
Boring. Next note.
Lawrence versus Texas.
Yeah, we did that, Senator Lawrence.
This is a while ago, so I'm trying to catch up to...
Okay, so I know one that's on the list that we didn't do last week is that it is coming. It's in the App Store. I think Apple rejected it first, but the No Agenda iPhone/iPod Touch app is coming.
Right.
And let me tell you what it includes. I haven't played with it myself. Let me rephrase that. It has a, so it's basically an app, and you have a menu, tabs at the bottom, and it's the stream, so it taps right into the live stream, so you don't have to figure out what, how to make that work. There's a Twitter, so you Twitter directly to, No Agenda, and, there's a direct, download thingy for the podcast, so you can have the offline version. I mean, it's like a whole little wallet, all, you know, a whole No Agenda, universe in the palm of your hand. And I think it's going to be 99 cents.
Good.
Yeah, I'm great. This is how it should work. People need to make money off of us.
I think that's cool.
And not only that, but we need to make some money off of you.
You know, we do have to mention a few people who contributed $50 and $100 this week.
Yes, please.
And I want to also apologize. There's one guy who sent me an email, because the last time I ran through this list of names, I left somebody out. He sent me an email. Of course, that was 2 weeks ago, and now, of course, it's in my email box, and I can't find it. He's going to have to send me another email. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But we got a bunch of interesting ones here. What's interesting to me is the we do have a few things like you know, the $66.60 from Robert Aher. But generally speaking, we got a lot of $50 donations. Steven Santoni, Richard Chapis, Mike Wilkes, Bronson Photography, Chris Bullock, Niven Brooks, C. Chase McCarthy, Robert Anderson's good for $100. Thanks, Robert. John Matthews.
Sorry.
John Matthews. Then we had Noel Malinowski and Carrie Lutz, both for $150. And Kerry, of course, is
Kerry,
our
yeah,
East Coast
Research Division. Thank you, Kerry.
He gave us money. He decided to help us out.
He works getting stories for us, and he's paying money to, for the libraries, donating. I mean, that's
unbelievable.
A great guy.
Oh,
I need that. In the morning. For
he's the best guy. Kenneth Alexander. Lois Whitman sent us $100. She's a very famous PR woman in New York City.
Really?
Yeah, and she likes the show. And she's going to do some
I was just going to say, can she help us with some PR?
I think so.
God,
we just have to
man.
Give her something to do. She'd be love to.
Oh, that's great. Is she hot?
Lois is hot.
Oh, God, really? Oh, cool. I've always wanted
actually,
a hot PR woman.
She's just right up your alley, too.
Yeah, Milfie?
Yeah. Oh, Robert Anderson,
wait, what,
$100.
I just want to Google her. What's her name? While you're doing the shout-outs, I want to...
Lois Whitman. That'd be HWH... Public Relations, I think, is there.
Lois, L-O-I-S?
Yeah. Hey, let me get these names out. Robert Anderson, $100. Thank you, Robert. Now we have the oddball ones. David Vanderwall, $56.66.
Excellent.
just like, okay, great.
I love that.
Harry Selwood, yeah, he sent us $666.66.
Really?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Jesus, thank you.
And then, of course, we got Robert Aher, who I think I maybe mentioned before, for $66.60. So there's all these 666 guys.
Yeah, excellent.
Now, that what's interesting to me is we mentioned people in the magic number 8, that the Chinese lucky number. So we did get a couple of numerous $8.88 donations. But the curious thing is that, you know, there's a thing, there's a random number theory that has everything in bunches. We had two donations in a row out of the blue and none again ever for $88.88 by Thomas Nelson and somebody named Desert Burn. Which could be a pseudonym or I don't know, but Desert Burn was the name. But they came in bang bang
right after another. Cool.
Yeah, $88.88, and it's just like you look at the listeners, you know, this, bing bing, and then that never again.
That's it. But no one sent 888.
No, nobody sent 888, okay. But they'd get a special call out for sure. But anybody doesn't get mentioned when they send over $50 into us, please send me an email. And this time I will put it aside and get you mentioned in the next show.
Hey, thank you very much. And, of course, this is for the No Agenda Library / Winery. We haven't actually done anything with the money yet.
But there's somebody suggested that we expand this winery, library, and something else. Armory.
Armory. Yeah, I like it. Armory.
Winery Library Armory.
Done. We'll make it so. Of course, you can also help just by giving us some link juice, twittering about us. Tell a friend. That's even better. Tell a friend. Turn them on to the show.
And it's you go to dvorak.org/NA.
Or noagendalibrary.com.
Or noagendalibrary.com, and you can, that'll link you to the PayPal site, and you can, or you can, I'll put up some addresses where you can mail stuff if you, some people hate PayPal and with, you know, some justification. And we're also going to add Amazon and some other.
Oh, you're going to add some other pay collection services? Is that what you're going to call
collection
them?
Service.
Collection
services.
I don't like that. I don't like the sound of that. Hey. Hello, it's the No Agenda Collection Agency. We hear you got a donation for the Armory.
The Armory. I like the Armory idea.
I think the Armory is even better.
Maybe we should just go with that. I mean, because we could load up with guns.
yeah, we could like get like ammo and shit. And we'll also just take gun donations. It doesn't have to be money. Just send us
some
hardware.
Guns.
Yeah, that's it. We're working. Take guns off the street. Put them in our armory. It'll be cool, everybody. I promise
Shadow
you.
Shadow Puppet Theater.
Bloomberg came out with a report earlier this week. Regarding the shadow puppet theater of that is the administration. Of course, there's a total transparency involved, so that's why we have to bring it to you, courtesy of Bloomberg. And this is about money that people are making. Lawrence Summers, who, of course, is director of President Obama's National Economic Council, earned more than $2.7 million in speaking fees from companies such as Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs.
What a coincidence.
Gee, you wonder how that works. Summary, Treasury Secretary under former President Bill Clinton, spoke to Citigroup, Goldman, Lehman Brothers Holdings last year even. I mean, so this is very recent. And then we have Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel. Let's see. He listed holdings of less than $1,000 in shares of AIG. But he still had shares of AIG. His wife,
maybe he's hoping it's going to make a comeback.
His wife bought between $1,000 and $15,000 worth of AIG stock in August. And this is...
That was a blunder.
Yeah, no, it's 2007. So I bet you they did make money on it. Let's see. Valerie Jarrett, senior advisor to Obama, who I've never heard of, but she's a close friend from Chicago, sold shares she owned in CME, Caterpillar, Hewlett-Packard, Intel, Sony, General Mills, General Dynamics Corp, Costco. And this is a fantastic article, right down to David Axelrod, chief strategist. He's really the PR guy. He's the Goebbels of the administration. Senior advisor to the president now, of course, received $1.5 million in salary and partnership income from public affairs firms. And he agreed to buyouts that will pay him another $3 million over 5 years. So that's current. I mean, it's crazy. Everyone's just making money. Everyone but us. Well, of course, we're the armory. It's the way to go. You know, it's the honest way to do it. It's just amazing.
Dvorak.org/NA. Anyway.
Here, a technical thing that blew me away, and I don't know if it works in the States, but it's called the iPlate. And... It's literally a plate you put over your existing phone jack if you have ADSL, and it can boost your ADSL connection by 60%, the speed or throughput.
Sounds like a scam.
Well, that's what I thought, but BT is actually advising people to buy it. It costs like £10, and what it does is it isolates the bell wire. Because the way at least British Telecom works, but maybe many ISPs with ADSL, is if you have like a crappy connection, because it's basically just phone lines, you know, copper wires, if it's crackly or whatever, there's an auto throttle that starts to kick in so that it tries to give you a continuous smooth performance. But if you apparently isolate the bell wire or whatever that is, that's probably
in the old systems, you had three wires. You had a, just a regular positive, negative, and then you had the third wire, which is, I think, green. And it sent a huge voltage to ring the bell specifically.
Right. That's like 40,
that has
48
been changed.
Volts.
Yeah, that now it's all twisted pair. You don't have a bell wire anymore in any system, at least in my neighborhood. But there used to be, what was funny about the bell wire,
you
is
could really get shocked from that if you were like hooking
up a
phone.
You could get a jolt,
yeah.
And so you could set some, put it on somebody, have somebody grab it and then call the number, and they get knocked on their ass.
Hey, that's cool. Do that often, Johnny?
It's DC. It's not going to hurt anybody.
So anyway, well, I'm going to order one. Who knows? It might work.
What do you need? Do you have DSL?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because
it might work. I know it probably, which for £10,
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah. How can you go wrong, right? Now, I still can't get a Virgin. Don't even get me started on it. I want to get that 50 megabit service from Virgin, but they can't seem to connect with them. They keep promising to call me, and then I call back, and then there's no one there. It's screwed.
So somebody sent us a joke.
Okay.
It's kind of a long joke. I'm reluctant, but I'll read it. This comes from Tracy Taylor. The joke has a title. It shows you that it's like almost a Shaggy Dog story, but not quite. On a Saturday afternoon, the joke is called St. Pelosi. On a Saturday afternoon in Washington, D.C., House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's aide visited the Cardinal of the Catholic Cathedral. He told the Cardinal that Nancy Pelosi would be attending the next day's sermon, and he asked if the Cardinal would be kindly point out Pelosi to the congregation and say a few words that would include calling Pelosi a saint. The Cardinal replied, "No, I don't really like the woman, and there are issues of conflict with the Catholic Church over certain of Pelosi's views." Pelosi's aide then said, "Look,
listen,
look,
let me be clear
look,
here.
I'll write a check here and now for a donation of $100,000 to your church if you'll just tell the congregation you see Pelosi as a saint."
Wait, this is a joke? You sure this is not an AP Newswire story?
The Cardinal thought about it and said, "Well, the church can use the money, so I'll work your request into tomorrow's sermon." As Pelosi's aide promised, House Speaker Pelosi appeared for the Sunday sermon and seated herself prominently at the edge of the main aisle. And during the sermon, as promised, the Cardinal pointed out that House Speaker Pelosi was president, then went on to explain to the congregation, quote, "Well, Speaker Pelosi's presence is probably an honor to some. She is not my favorite person. Some of her views are contrary to those of the church, and she tends to flip-flop over many other views. Nancy Pelosi is a petty, self-absorbed hypocrite, a thumbsucker, and a nitwit. Nancy Pelosi is also a serial liar, a cheat, and a thief. Nancy Pelosi is the worst example of a Catholic I have personally witnessed. She married for money and is using it to lie to the American people. She also has a reputation for shirking her representative obligations both in Washington and in California. She is simply not to be trusted." The Cardinal completed his view of Pelosi with, "But when compared to Senators Ted Kennedy, Harry Reid, and John Kerry, Nancy Pelosi is a saint."
Kind of that's cool.
Long
that
way to go. But
that was worth it. That was good.
I don't know. I need shorter material. I'm not good with the long jokes. Send me shorter material.
New research out of Spain suggests that THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, appears to prompt the death of brain cancer cells. They've been doing tests on mice, and not just brain cancer cells, but they've modified these mice to have, complete human properties, however that works.
And they talk.
Yeah, they're actually doing this show. And so they've been injecting THC into them, the active ingredient in marijuana, and it is killing, and let me see the quote here. "It appears to kill cancer cells while it does not affect normal cells." No wonder these guys outlawed that shit. The pharmaceutical industry and the entire cancer industry would crumble if we found out that marijuana actually cures cancer.
Well, that would be interesting. I think this needs more looking into.
And luckily, right on the heels of that, interesting combination. Talk about the odd couple. Congressman Ron Paul, but also Barney Frank, together introduce a bill to legalize industrial hemp, which is, of course, completely
That should have been done years
good.
Ago.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much that can be done with hemp. What an and particularly paper is a good one, because that's why it got outlawed in the first place.
It's an amazing product, and it's not it doesn't produce a intoxicating bud.
which mean, is which is kind of a bummer. But on the other hand, yeah, you can use it for a lot of stuff. It's and it should be legalized. It's crazy.
Well, they made it illegal. I don't know why they made it. I think they made it illegal because it's so hard to tell it and dust. That's hemp from the pot plant. I mean, it's the same plant, basically, but one is bred differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, the, you know, the story. Well, we've all seen the documentaries, and you know, the, as far as I can see, the reason it stopped is because what's his face, the publisher, Hearst. He all these Mexicans were competing with his paper mills, and they were competing with hemp, using that for paper. And so then he started publishing in all his newspapers. These fucking Mexicans are whacked out on weed. We got to get rid of both of them. Get rid of the Mexicans and the weed.
Yeah, that's the way they used to do marketing back then.
Crackpot get Mexicans.
And not that, but they still do marketing like this. I mean, it's the old the legislature to like pass a law. I was watching this thing on Great Scenic Railway Journeys. It was in a PBS special. They had a whole series of these, and I loved riding old trains around. And I noticed that in a couple of places where this train wouldn't even exist anymore, they, you know, they were some hotshot, some, you know, do-gooders went to the state legislature to have them pass certain kinds of laws to allow the train to take over these certain tracks and then, you know, get certain tax benefits. And that's, you know, the way marketing used to always be done is if you can get the state lawmakers to do stuff for you, you know, you can make some change there. And Hearst was a master of it.
Someone's impersonating me at noagendadrop.com. It's funny. It's like AC says, I'm baked.
I'm baked.
Speaking of baked, President Barack Obama brushed off a question about legalizing marijuana at his online town hall last month. But now we have a new supporter. Who knew Carlos Santana smoked weed? But apparently he does.
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on a second. Are you telling me? You're not talking about the guitar player.
Yes. Can you believe
hold on a second. You're telling me that
he smokes weed?
He smoked weed?
Oh,
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get a pencil.
Need you write that one down. I'll send you the link. No worries. You can all find the link.
Yeah, send me the link because I find it hard to believe that a musician
would be smoking weed.
Yeah, huh. Especially one from the 60s.
You can find it at noagenda.mevio.com.
By the way, I think that interlude thing I do... I think it's it. I'm gonna not this next one, but the one after this. I'm gonna do a tribute to Hawaii and the Big Island because I've noticed
it. Good one.
Because it has a there's a certain hippie quality to these songs. I realize I'm thinking, geez, this stuff is a little too. It's like something you throw together in the late 60s
That's the whole point, John. Is that radio is no longer being made. There is no love.
I know it is. I know
it's
what
people are doing it.
When I'm producing this thing, I am thinking in those terms of saying, you know, people don't listen to this stuff anymore. They don't program it anymore. There's a lot of good material that's been forgotten that's still good. I mean, the thing that's interesting to me is that there's a lot of music from, and actually I go back to the late 50s with some of this stuff, from the late 50s on to the present, there's a lot of material that holds up. To an extreme. I mean, you could listen to it as though it was done yesterday.
Yeah. Well, but you know, even recently, Spandau Ballet announced that they were reforming and going back on the road. And of course, it's probably because they're broke. And I support that. Regardless, I think it's great that they're going to go out on the road. But when you think about it, I was playing Muscle Bound from Spandau Ballet, which is before True, which was their big hit. And then they got Gold and all those other songs. And then, of course, they became Uncool. I was playing that in 1982. So how long ago was that? It's like almost 30 years, man.
Right. And it's amazing how much stuff holds up. And usually the stuff that holds up the best is just really good rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. I think I need to also automate the... would it be cool if I could automate the No Agenda chat so you could have different voices and it would just speak it for a little while? Because I just come in all the time like, I'm baked. I just popped a Vicodin.
I'm baked.
Puff, puff, pass. From Gitmo Nation South in Italy. And it's not been, I don't think it's started yet, but there's a huge uproar. Has Silvio Berlusconi, who is, of course, completely licking at the taint of the world's elite. Now they have two types of bus service in Italy. There's the bus service if you are just visiting, i.e. an immigrant, or if you're a resident, you have to take a different bus service.
Yeah, a little, that's funny.
Yeah.
A little racism there,
you
I guess.
Think?
Just you get on, this is not the bus for you.
So they have to, I gotta talk to my sister about this. She'll give me the lowdown on that. Go ahead. No, please.
No.
Well, I was going to say that yeah, she of course listens to the show, Willow, who lives in Italy.
And hi, Willow.
Yeah, and she tells me all the time about all this crazy shit that's going on there. You know, her husband's also in the movie business. Now, imagine in Italy, or movie and television and theater even, you're either...
Hey, we need to get a bit part.
Oh, that'll be easy. Oh, yeah. Oh, that'll be easy. But we have to go to Italy.
Yeah, that's a, Oh, gee.
Not to Italy. But so you're either work for Berlusconi or you work for the other mob. I mean, it's like there's no in between. And the way, you know, you think movie deals and how they're financed are weird in America. Oh man, Italy is awesome. It's the fun. She has the funniest stories. So yeah, I can get us a bit part.
Yeah, I need a bit part. I need a walk on.
Before I forget, I got you hooked up for Queen's Day. Are you going by yourself? Are you taking Mimi?
No, there's a group I'm going over to visit a corporation.
But no wives? It's Cone of Silence? Guys Club?
Yeah, Cone of Silence. No, yeah.
Okay.
Right, no wives.
I've got you into the hottest party of the entire Queen's Day.
Huh.
And I'll just give you the title of the party, because I don't think anyone knows yet. The title of, these parties have names. The name of this party is No Sex in the Champagne Room.
Which is a callback to a Chris Rock ditty that he had on one of his,
So I thought you'd appreciate that. And I'm talking
very funny.
You know, so those models I was hanging out with?
Yeah.
You'll be hanging out with them.
Okay, good.
But you have to promise to take pictures.
Oh, you're talking to me. Because I look like a goof in there taking photos. I'll have to bring I have a little red camera that's pretty...
It'll be so funny. It'll be like, where's Waldo?
I'll make sure to wear the red striped top. Like, what the hell is this old guy doing here?
100 beautiful people. And John... Yeah, no, man, no. You're beautiful. You're a beautiful person.
Oh, yeah, right. You're baked. So,
yes, it's all true.
So here's the deal. So now they've moved the G20s over and the riots stopped, and now they moved some event to France, and the French, when they protest, they burn down the place.
Yes. They went to Strasbourg, which, of course, there's the bridge there between France and Germany. It's all the symbolic shit. They have imagine having Washington, D.C. and then having Colorado. You know, that's kind of the same thing. It's like that's where the government also meets. So, yeah. And the French burn shit down.
The French don't. They don't. You know, these guys are serious. There's this huge, huge building. They just burn to the ground.
Yeah, but very little coverage of that. Nothing like the protests in London.
I only saw. That's funny because they showed all those British protests, you know, here and there, but not with a lot of fanfare. But this thing was almost suppressed.
Well, where was Katie Couric? Wasn't she there? Were all the anchor men and women there?
I guess it wasn't on the list of things you can. You know, they are allowed to attend. Mm-hmm. Knowing that the French would go crazy.
Yeah, you got to love the French for that. You really do.
Yeah. There's a bunch of, right now, I got to get to the details on this, but right now there's a bunch of wine terrorism going on in France.
What's that?
Well, there's a group, and they wear the masks, and they hijack, they represent the wine growing areas of France, and apparently a lot of cheap Plonk is coming in from Spain and elsewhere to feed the French market and screw the French wine growers. And so they hijack these tankers, you know, with,
really?
You know, strong arm them, you know, pull them aside with, you know, I guess guns and throw the guy out of the tanker and then go drive it over to a sewer and then open the valves.
Wow. Oh, what a travesty.
Well, they're, you know, opening the valves of the, you know, the Spanish wine they don't want into the country.
Yeah, but still, that's a travesty.
Yeah, well, the wine's probably not that good, is my guess.
Screw it. Screw their wine. Yeah, whatever. Screw the Spanish.
They're not
shit.
Giving them the good stuff. So,
but the French, of course, you know, they are known. It's been a couple hundred years, but they are known for cutting people's heads off in public office. So, I'm counting on them.
Yeah, they do it. They definitely don't put up with a lot of crap the way the Brits do.
But it was also noticeable, I'm looking at the front page of the Financial Times, Barack Obama and Nicolas Sarkozy, and of course Michelle and the lovely Carla Bruni, and they're just standing in the middle of the street. You know, whenever Obama's anywhere else, where the fake show was going on, then there's a security and, you know, a million limos, and now they're just on the street, just looking around. Hey, welcome to Strasbourg.
Lost.
Yeah.
Maybe they're holograms.
Oh, please. Nah. Well, anyway. Hey, even though it is top of the real news, the space wars continue as North Korea... there's a dispute now. North Korea says it successfully launched their satellite into orbit. And I believe the U.S. Defense Department is saying, no, it didn't. The payload part crashed into the ocean, so they didn't make it. And Japan had threatened to blow it out of the sky and then blow up North Korea, so none of that happened.
Somebody sent us a note saying that the side of the Patriot missiles had stenciled on them, inactive or not, you know, work. So I forget what the term was, but of course the Japanese didn't see it because it was in English.
Like a use-by date?
These weren't real. They had no warheads. I mean, they were just duds. They were like test, you know, bombs.
What, the North Koreans? No, the Japanese.
No, the Japanese. Stuff? The Japanese had a bunch of Patriots that were apparently just, you know,
just
test
props.
Yeah. Props. That's the word.
Yeah.
But it still had the stencil on the saying, you know, basically prop. You know, Department of MG. You know, prop owned by
prop
MGM.
Department. MGM prop department.
You know, please return
if found. yes. Okay.
I have to dig that story up and post it.
So when do you leave? You don't leave for Hawaii. No, I leave first. Okay, we'll figure that out behind the scenes.
I'm leaving on Wednesday morning.
Right, but you're going up to Gitmo Nation Northwest.
Right, and then I'll be back. I'll be up there. So I don't know. You're going to be gone over for Sunday too.
Well, you know, if we're going on holiday, and if you know, if we're only leaving Thursday, yeah, I hope to still be somewhere else with Sunday.
Okay.
But I can do the Sunday show no problem at all, because I'm just saying, it's like I'd rather do it on Wednesday, because it's just kind of weird if we're, you know, first day of vacation and there's Dad setting the shit up. There he is, talking all that crazy crap.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it's going to be more problematic when I'm in Amsterdam.
Well, all depends on the. Do you know where you're staying?
Not yet.
Okay, when you
do know, but I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, well, when you know, let me know because I can find out about the broadband situation. But
right.
It would be cool if you could participate. And Sunday is the 2nd of May, then I think. First, second, no, maybe it's even the 3rd. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm leaving on the Saturday, and so I'll be there probably. I don't know. We'll
right.
see.
Well, we'll work it out. And then just finally, last thing I have on my list. Have you heard of the U.S. National Ignition Facility?
No. What is it?
This is the American version of the Large Hadron Collider, although it appears to be something completely different. But the lab will kickstart a reaction to demonstrate nuclear fusion by focusing 192 giant laser beams on a tiny pellet of hydrogen fuel.
A fusion experiment. They're trying to, you know, find some way. They've been trying to do this since I was a kid, make nuclear fusion work as an energy source.
What is the basic principle of nuclear fusion?
It's that when you take and you, you know, with fission, of course, you have a, these atoms, they blow apart and then they produce energy.
What do we have now? We have nuclear energy. What process
is that?
Yeah, but
it's just fission, which
that,
means
that's just explosion, just blow up shit.
That's what it would be if it wasn't in the reactor.
Right.
But it just heats up and it boils the water, and the water turns a steam generator. But it leaves a bunch of crap behind. With fusion, where you fuse hydrogen together, you don't have radiation involved. It just, you end up with, you know, some gas. And, but it creates even more heat. But unfortunately, it creates so much that it's hard. It is they haven't been able to control it, and that's why there's always this belief that maybe there's some way of doing cold fusion. It would be the solution to everything. But it would be the energy source that would be amazing if it could ever be done.
And that's great, but I just don't like that name. I think it's a bad marketing.
Fusion?
No, the United States National Ignition Facility. You know, it's like, all right, you know, are you going to ignite us?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't sound good. It's a stupid name. They shouldn't have named it that. They're idiots.
Anything else on your list, Johnny boy?
I'm done. I'm sure there's something on the list, but I can't find the list.
Okay.
We'll get to it on next time.
Which will be Wednesday or Thursday. We'll find out for sure later this week.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you for all of your donations for the No Agenda Armory. Don't forget to change the page, John. And, of course, we have to keep the NA link in there.
Right, Dvorak.org/NA.
Right, but it stands for nothing. Well, National Armory?
No, it stands for No Agenda is what it stands for.
Yeah, that's true.
It could say National Armory. It's not the National Armory.
It's our private armory.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a variety of guns and cold cuts.
And meats.
And meats.
Guns and cold cuts. Patricia went to the Madame Tussauds.
Oh, yeah, there's supposed to be an Obama thing there that everybody is lining up to have their picture taken with.
Well, it's funny because...
there's the Wax Museum for anybody to...
Yeah, so the Wax Museum, which is basically... It's kind of a... It used to be only dignitaries, and it was the thing you had. It was only in London at the time, and now they're everywhere, and now it's kind of like a Hard Rock Cafe vibe. But what they do is in each individual country, whoever's, you know, the hot TV star, singer, du jour, they have this honor bestowed upon them, which, of course, it's only to get people to come to the museum. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. But these wax figures that they're making have changed so drastically over the years. So the guy who's hosting Holland's Got Talent, the show that Patricia is a judge on, they're making a wax figure of him. And they do that at Madame Tussauds in London. So he came over, and Patricia, and, you know, had lunch, and then she went over to the museum. But all these figures now, they're Obama's ears. First of all, you can touch them now. There was a time when you weren't allowed to touch them because they were really made of wax that could disintegrate. And now you can stand next to them, you can hold them, you can touch them. And Obama's ears are made of a kind of latex, and you can wiggle them. And yeah, it's funny. And you can Brad Pitt, his bum is squeezable. Wasn't that it, hon?
Yeah, I squeezed it.
Of course you did.
She squeezed.
She squeezed it. So
how come she doesn't have a wax figure?
Oh God, you know, if I could buy her one, I'd do that. Because of course it's frustrating. Of course she should have one. She should have multiple.
So what's the what have you gone there and looked at these images? Because most of them don't even look like the person.
No, they're pretty bad. I think that in general they're pretty poor. Some of them look okay, yeah. But we have so much imagery these days. You can imagine where 20 years ago or 30 years ago, you know, you saw a picture from time to time of someone, but there was no internet. And now, you know, we know exactly what people look like who are famous. And we look like what they look like in the morning, when they look like shit, when they have their makeup on. We know their cellulite, you know, all of that. And so that automatically makes it tougher.
All right. Well, I'm going to visit it next time I'm in town. I got to get to London. I think now's the time to go.
Well, let's just try and coordinate so I don't have a board meeting when you come over.
Hey. You know, the idea of the Queen's Day visit was not mine.
Yeah, yeah. What did you say, hon?
I wanted to say,
Will Smith's ears are flappable.
Oh, I thought, no, I thought it was Obama's ears.
No, Will Smith's. But they're going to do the next new figures are going to have flappable ears. So people will, because people...
Oh, I thought it was Obama. It was Will Smith, the same guy.
Will Smith have
ears. It's the same guy. Same mold.
Same mold.
Same mold. Yeah.
All right. On that note... In the Crackpot Command Center in the southwest quadrant of Gitmo Nation East, I'm Adam Curry.
And here from Silicon Valley North, also Gitmo Nation West, I'm doing dual service here. I'm John C. Dvorak.
And we will talk to you again sometime this week on No Agenda.
It's a fractal.